Morning. Today we're going to continue our journey through Philippians. We'll be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. So, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So this is a passage for this morning, and again, we're going to examine it, but as I just said, I hope that as we examine this word, this passage, that the passage actually examines us. Because when we come to the Bible, it's not so much that we're going to examine what the Bible says, but we want the Bible to actually examine our lives, because that is exactly what's happening every time we study the Bible. The Bible studies us. The Bible examines us. The Bible tells us the condition of our own hearts. So that is what we're here to find out this morning, is what does the Bible have for us this morning? So here's the backdrop. We know this. Two sisters in Christ, two saved sisters, are experiencing disunity, broken fellowship, and their disagreement could cause the church to lose harmony. Paul gets that. He understands that. He doesn't want that. This is his beloved little church, and he doesn't want it to fall apart. So Paul understands the cure. The cure for discord is joy. The cure for a problem, for a disagreement, for a discontentment within brothers and sisters is joy. It's not an issue of salvation or anything like that, because both sisters are saved. But Paul knows that what both sisters need at this time is joy. So the cure for discord is joy. And as one man said a long time ago, he said that there is a great medicinal power in joy. Great medicinal power. It is a great medicine for anyone who is lacking joy. So most medicines today, we know this, most medicines that are really good for the body are distasteful. They don't taste very good. But this particular medicine, which is one of the best of all medications, it is divine, it is holy, it is pure, it's sweet to the taste. It is sweet to the taste, and it is very comforting to the heart. And this is what Paul is going to prescribe this morning for these two ladies, for the church as a whole. So first thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to consider Paul. Let's first consider Paul when it comes to joy. So here sits our beloved Paul, in Rome, in prison, no liberty, no comforts. He could become a martyr at any moment. His life could be poured out as a sacrifice. This could happen any moment, but his joy and his continuous rejoicing aren't being determined by his circumstances. We need to get that point. Look at where Paul is in his circumstances. Not a very good time for Paul. He's in prison. That could be the end of Paul. But regardless, Paul says, regardless of my circumstances, Paul would say, do not determine my joy. These circumstances have nothing to do with my joy. These prison circumstances will not rob me of my joy. Satan has tried over and over and over to the point of incarcerating him, making him to lose his freedom. And still Paul says, I will rejoice and I will continue to rejoicing regardless. That is the whole point here. Regardless of our circumstances, we should not stop rejoicing. One does not dictate the other. You know what? My circumstances, they're just so bad, so miserable that I can't rejoice. Paul would say, no, look at me and look at my circumstances and look at how bad it is for me. Facing death, facing martyrdom, and still I will rejoice. This is precisely what he's telling the church in Philippi. Continue to rejoice. Regardless of what's happening to me, don't stop. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. And in fact, he just told us in chapter 3, didn't he? He said, brethren, join in following my example. Join me in following my example. Keep on pressing for the gold. So you see in Paul, here in prison, still filled with joy. He's still pressing on toward the goal. For the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's still pressing ahead, filled with joy. Nothing is about to rob Paul of his joy. And then when you look at Paul, you would think this, in this particular moment in history, in Paul's life, him right there in prison, in his cell, by himself, in all the earth. I would say this, that in all the earth, at that particular moment in history, there is not one man, not one, who is filled with more joy than Paul. Nobody. Nobody in the face of all the earth, I would venture to say, is not filled with more joy than Paul. So much love he has for his Lord. He will not be robbed of his joy. And that's why it's so wonderful for him to be in this predicament and still encourage us. Even today, rejoice. And I say again, rejoice. Because nothing is about to rob him of his joy. That is Paul and his joy. And no doubt Paul will agree with James. Can you go to James chapter 1 verse 2? And here is James, and he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Can you go to verse 3, please? "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Now this we know, when you look at the writings of Paul and Peter and John, when it comes time to talking about enduring suffering, trials, tribulations, they normally wait till the end of their letter. Or maybe in the middle of their letter, toward the end of their letter, they start talking about us enduring. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, oh, he wastes no time. He just gets straight into his letter, and then the very second verse of his letter, boom, he's encouraging his brothers and his sisters. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Consider it what? Consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Well, he looked back at the life of his half-brother, Christ, and what did he see? Misery? Someone who had just succumbed to just sorrow? No, no, no. He looked at Christ and he saw the joy. The joy. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, my brethren, my sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Well, why, James? Why? "Because you know that the testing of your faith will develop perseverance." Life can be difficult, but I'm going to dig in and just continue rejoicing. Why? Because God will make something good come out of it. I got to believe that. That is James right here. That is Paul. Continue to rejoice. Don't stop rejoicing because of your circumstances. No, no, dig in and keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. Don't give up. No. James would say, consider it all joy. Why? Because trials and tribulations and testings, those things are going to come. James isn't going to lie to you. He said, no, you're a Christian, you're born again, and yes, life will be very, very hard. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to help you, rather? Joy. Keep joy in your heart. If you're going to overcome, you better keep joy alive. If you don't, those times when they do come, oh, they're going to be very, very difficult, very painful, very strenuous, very distressful. So James is saying, consider it all joy. Joy will help you get by, get through it. It will certainly help you. So rejoicing in the Lord, Paul knows, rejoicing in the Lord is the remedy. It is a cure for these two sisters, for Yoda and for Suntike. This is the remedy right here. Paul knows it. There is conflict. We know this. There is conflict between these two sisters. There is a conflict. But Paul, being very wise, very shrewd, and having the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in him, he knows this. Because he has put his finger right on the problem. Like a very good physician, he knows with pinpoint accuracy where the problem is. Yes, he knows the two sisters are not getting along. There's conflict there. But he knows this, the conflict that they need to resolve is taking place in their hearts. It is taking place in their hearts. This is a matter of their heart condition. It is a heart problem. They need to get their hearts in order before they can reconcile with each other and be sisters again in Christ, in love, in harmony, and in peace. They need to get their hearts in order. Because this right here, Paul knows, this is a condition of your heart. Yodia, my sister in Christ, Suntike, my sister in Christ, you have to get your hearts in order because they're in disorder right now. Your own heart is in disharmony. Yes, your relationships couldn't be in disharmony, but that's only because there's no harmony in your own heart. How can you have harmony with others when you don't even have harmony in your own hearts? You have no peace, no joy, no gentleness, nothing. You need to get your heart in order. So Paul knows that right there is where the problem lies. It lies right in your problem. You see, we had that problem too with our Lord God Almighty, didn't we? Jesus came to earth and he knew these people, sinners, helpless, enemies of God, they have a sin problem. They have a heart problem. They have a heart condition. And the only way for Christ to reconcile us to the Father is to do something about our dead, unregenerate hearts. He has to do something about the heart, because until he does something with the heart, we will never, ever be reconciled to the Father. And then when he dealt with our hearts on the cross, and he redeemed us, and he poured his righteousness into us, and he dealt with our hearts, only then could he reconcile us to the Father. Only when these ladies are cured of their heart problem, will they be able to reconcile with one another. See, it's not a matter of the two ladies just walking to each other and says, you know what, let's just agree to disagree, let's shake hands and just get on. No, no, no. That's not the point. That's not how we act in church. That might be how it is in the outside world, outside the church, but in church, no. In church, there needs to be true, genuine reconciliation. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how it needs to be resolved. It needs to be resolved in the heart. And then we make peace with each other. There needs to be love and harmony and peace restored. That is what needs to happen. Paul knows it. He diagnosed the problem. Inner joy, inward tranquility, it's gone. These ladies don't have it. They've lost it. Get the joy back inside, ladies. Get the joy back in your hearts. That's the remedy. That's the cure, that's the solution. True joy, this is the point. True joy, it predisposes the heart toward harmony. If you have genuine, authentic joy in your heart, it will incline the heart to just get along with others. Why? Because joy makes you to do that. It just predisposes your heart to go out there and just advance harmony because you're just feeling so joyful in your heart. But if you don't have any joy, none of that whatsoever, or you're not going to go around advancing harmony. You don't have any harmony. Or it may be pseudo-harmony, a fake harmony, but not the real thing. Or it might be happiness, the kind of happiness the world tries to advance. But no, in the kingdom of God, it's joy that we are to advance. The joy of the Lord, that is our strength. And that is what we're called to advance here. The joy of the Lord. So true joy is what predisposes the heart toward harmony. True joy is what these two ladies are missing. Paul knows it. So there briefly we considered Paul. Now we're going to consider the essence of joy. Oh, what is joy? What is the essence of joy? Okay. When you read this passage, can you go back please to Philippians 4, verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay, rejoicing in the Lord is an injunction. It is a divine order. It is a commandment. It is Paul giving us a commandment by the direction of the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit himself was telling us, rejoice in the Lord. You two ladies, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. It is a divine commandment straight from heaven. You will rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. You will. It's not a biblical suggestion. You know, it'd be a good idea if you rejoice. No, it's not a good idea. It's not a suggestion. It's not advice, a recommendation. No, no. This is the Holy Spirit saying, you will do this. You will rejoice. You will rejoice. And the Holy Spirit, he makes no room. So you can say, well, at this particular case, I don't really have to rejoice. No, he makes no room for that. No room whatsoever. For him, it says, you will always rejoice. There is no room, none, No room in your Christian life whatsoever where you can say to yourself, in this case, I don't have to rejoice. No, that is not a condition. He makes no such a reservation, no concessions. The mandate here is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. See, one might even say that failure of a Christian to rejoice, failure for you to rejoice would be a sin, some would say. It's just sinful. It's sinful conduct. It's conduct unbecoming of a Christian not to be joyful. What kind of a Christian would we be? A church filled with joyless people. No. One would say, well, that sounds to me like it would be sin. If this is a divine injunction, a commandment, and we refuse to be joyful. If Euodia, Syntyche, if they refuse, are they not sinning? If they would tell their beloved brother Paul, no, we're not going to get along. No, forget this joy thing. No, not in this case. No. The Holy Spirit says, in every case, you will rejoice. In every case. Otherwise, yes, one would say, you are sinning. You are sinning before the Most High God. Rejoicing, then, is an edict of the Spirit, leaving no room for not rejoicing. Christians are to rejoice always. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not periodically, not occasionally, always. Always to rejoice. Despite our circumstances, we must rejoice. Why? Why must we rejoice? Says who? Why do we have to do this? Here's the thing. Because God is joy. And because God is a joyful God. And because joy makes us just like our God. And because heaven is filled with joy. The whole atmosphere in heaven is filled with joy. Because God is joy. And the only way for us to bring heaven down to earth is if we start living with joy. You want to bring some heaven to earth? Then be joyful. Because the God of heaven is filled with joy. Bring some joy down to earth and be joyful and begin the kingdom of God here on earth as a joy-filled people. Our God is joy. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, you have no room whatsoever not to be filled with joy. If your God who sits on the throne is joy himself, then you too, sitting here on earth, should be filled with joy. It is a commandment. He is joy, therefore you will be filled with joy. No room for you not to be filled with joy. That is bad. That is bad. Joy, a sweet medication. Tasteful to the heart, tasteful to the palate. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Disobedience would say, no, I don't want to be reconciled. Pure disobedience. Not good. Not good. That's what's happening in the church. Paul says, you need joy back in your hearts. That is medication. If God is joyful, so should you be. But how? You would say, how? Okay, I get it. This is why I need to be joyful. I get why. Because God is joy. I too, as his child, as a son, as his daughter, I get that I too should emulate God and be filled with joy. But how? How can we be joyful? As a matter of discipline, as a matter of the will, how can I be joyful? How? See, when you read the passage, the answer is right there in the passage. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is the answer. The Lord is a key. When you say, how? How could I possibly ever be filled with joy when I go through some very dire circumstances in my life? How? The Lord. The Lord. That's how. The Lord. Apart from him, can you have joy? No. Apart from him, you can have pseudo-peace and pseudo-joy and happiness of the world. But apart from him, you can have no joy. In the Lord is the key. The Father who sits in heaven is joy. His Son is joy. And we are in the Son. We too should be filled with joy. We ought to be filled with joy. Here's the thing. Because the answer lies right there in the commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. The key we know is the Lord. He is the key. Christ is the key. Nobody without Christ has joy. Christians should have joy. Why? Because Christians have the Lord. We should be filled with joy. Absolutely. Here's the point. Okay. If I am in Christ, if I believe that I am in Christ, and if I believe that Christ is in me, if I believe those two things, I am in Christ, Christ is in me, then my relationship with Christ is not a sometimes experience. Are you experiencing Christ as a Christian? Sometimes I do. Sometimes. No. If I truly believe that I am in Christ and that Christ is in me, then my experience with Christ is an always experience. Always experiencing Christ. Always. There's no time in my life ever when I no longer have a relationship with Christ. If Christ is in me, and if Christ is joy, then I should always have a measure of joy in me. Never can I say, I can't be joy-filled when I go through this circumstances. It's just so bad, so hard, so miserable. I just lost my job. Maybe I just love someone whom I really love. We know the church has just gone through that recently. It can be miserable for someone or for the whole church. But the point is, Christ is with us. Christ is in us. We have the capacity, we have the possibility, we have it because he abides in us. That's why. That's how. Recognizing that he is with us. And because he is with us, we can always have the possibility of joy. Is it impossible to have joy? Well, it's impossible if you don't have Christ. Is it possible to be filled with joy? Yes, if you have Christ. Christians have Christ. This relationship we have with Christ, that is real. That is our everyday experience. That's why the Holy Spirit can say, rejoice and rejoice always, because he is always with you. You can't say, well, I can't rejoice in this circumstance. Now you know why you can, because Christ is always with you. You most certainly can. And if you're saying you can, you're just being disobedient. You're not being honest. You're doing what Syntyche and Euodia have been doing all this time, denying the truth. Denying the truth. Their problem, not so much with each other. The real problem lies right there in their hearts. They need joy. They need the medicine of joy. And here's the thing too, when you read the passage, because we know that life, oh, it can be nasty. Life can be brutal. It can be merciless. We know this. For some people, they just go through some very severe hard times, really bad trials. Paul says, what does Paul say? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And when it gets really, really bad, and life is just hard, what did he say? Then dig in. And he says, and I will say it again, rejoice. Even when it gets so hard, so difficult, and you think you can, Paul says, dig in and just rejoice because you can, because Christ is with you. You most certainly can. That is the essence of joy, that you can because Christ is with you. You most certainly can. We should never say, you know what? I can't be filled with joy. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So we consider too, let's consider Christ now. Let's consider Christ. We considered Paul. We considered the essence of joy. Let's consider Christ. What does Isaiah say about Christ? He says this, he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In Isaiah chapter 53, that's how Isaiah presents Jesus Christ. He says, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And then he goes on and he says, our griefs he himself bore. And he says, our sorrows he carried. Does Christ know what we go through whenever we grieve? When life is so difficult? Yes. Why? Because he carries our griefs. He bears our sorrows. He knows what we're going through. He's experienced all that also. And he helps us to just overcome. How do I know? He's a man of sorrows. Yes, look at what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says. Can you go to Hebrews? Here it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And here we go. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, life was going to be exceedingly difficult for Christ, for Jesus. He understood that. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult, very painful. But Jesus never lost sight. He always kept what? He always kept joy in his heart. He looked beyond it. He looked right through the cross. Yes, the cross, what he has to endure, the wrath, the pain, the agony, the suffering, the weight of sins upon him, all that. But he says he endured. Why? Because of the joy set before him. If Christ could go through the most awful experience ever and still retain his joy, then so can we. So can we. Why? Because he helps us. He carries our sorrows. He bears our griefs. He knows that. He's been there. But he, like Paul, never lost his joy. Never. Never lost his joy. Joy is good medicine. You know, when you go to Philippians and you read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I'll stop right there. Be anxious for nothing. How? How can you be anxious for nothing? Well, you have to go back to Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Because if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to be anxious about everything because you have no joy. Paul says in the very first verse, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, and then later, rejoice in the Lord. But if you're doing none of that, well then yes, when we get to verse 6, where he says, be anxious for nothing, oh yeah, we're going to be anxious about everything. Why are we going to be anxious? Because we're not standing firm in the Lord, or we're not rejoicing in the Lord. So yes, you're going to be anxious. Rejoice. Paul says, if you're rejoicing in the Lord, that will help you as you're going through your difficulties. But if you have no joy, oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to try to navigate your life through very, very dark shadows without any joy. See, here's the thing. Because everything that we're taught in the Bible, everything has to deal with doctrines. How I live my life is based on doctrines. Standing firm in the Lord. A little doctrine there. A little doctrine that I know if I'm going to live my life as a Christian, I need to stand firm in the Lord. If I'm going to get along with others, I need to be gentle in spirit. Little doctrines. If I'm going to not be anxious about things, well then what? I need to rejoice in the Lord. All these precious doctrines that I need to learn, and I need to incorporate them into my life so that they help me to live my life. So when someone comes along and says, you know what, I don't need doctrine, I just need love. Well, love, guess what? Love of God is a doctrine. Of course you need doctrines. That's how we learn. That's how we live as Christians, knowing all these little precious truths and applying them into our lives. But if we don't know them or think they're not important, well, then we're just not going to get along. Joy, is it important? Yes, very important for these two sisters. Very important for us. We're going to get along in harmony. We need some joy. We need some doctrinal truth in our lives. We need to just work it out. That's what it means to work out your salvation. All these little doctrines, go work them out. Work them out in your Christian life. For that is God's will. And he gives us the desire to do just that. The way, someone said, the way to be happy in Christ, the way to be happy in Christ is to be desperately miserable without him. Oh, if you're just so miserable because you don't have Christ, that is the way you can be filled with joy with Christ, because you know that I just need Christ, because I know that if I have him, I will be filled with joy. And if I don't have him, I'm not going to be filled with any joy. I'm going to be miserable, a miserable wretch. Yes, miserable patch that I am. That's why I need Christ, because he will keep me joyful. And if I don't have that, yes, I'm going to be miserable, and I probably deserve to be miserable. I need that. The Lord's joy is active, positive, emotional. It has power. It has life. That's why the Holy Spirit says, rejoice, and rejoice always. Because it is good medicine for the heart. Good medicine for the heart. You know, Jesus said too in Matthew 6:24, he talks about two masters, serving two masters. He said, one master gives you joy, the other gives you temporary happiness. Temporary happiness. You can't have two masters. You cannot. Because that's what's happening. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to despise one and appreciate the other. It's like that too right here. Can't serve two masters. One master will give you fake happiness. The other master will give you real joy. You pick, because you can't have them both. You have to choose one or the other. You take what the world gives you, or you take what God has given you. You take one or the other. You decide. Sisters in Christ who are arguing, you decide what you want. But here Paul's telling you, take joy. Take the joy of the Lord. You need it. As a matter of fact, I'm giving you an order to rejoice, because that's what you need. That is what I am prescribing as your great physician. Take the medicine and be filled with joy. Restore your heart. Put things in order in your heart, and then you'll be fine in your relationships. Get right with the Lord, and then you'll get right with others. But if you don't get right with the Lord, you'll never be right with others. Not in the church you want. Fellowship with Him, and you'll have good fellowship with others. But if you don't have good fellowship with the Lord, you'll never have good fellowship with others. The one relationship we always need to get right first is my relationship, your relationship with Christ. Get that right, and you'll get everything else right. You get that wrong, and you'll get everything else wrong. Get right with the Lord. We need to get right with the Lord. So we're called to rejoice. That right there means keep on rejoicing. It's given to you in the present tense. That means keep on rejoicing. You never stop. You just keep at it. Every single day, day after day after day, you just rejoice. There's Paul in prison, day after day after day, rejoicing. What? I'm going to stay in prison again? Another week, another month, another year? Good. I'll keep rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. Day after day after day, you just don't stop. That's the commandment. You just keep at it every single day. Rejoice in the Lord. Every morning you wake up, rejoice in the Lord. And noontime, you're still rejoicing. And when you go to bed rejoicing. Always rejoicing. Is it hard? Yes. Yes. It's a matter of the will. It's a matter of the heart. You either choose to or you choose not to. But again, the Holy Spirit, He makes no provisions for you not to rejoice. None whatsoever. We are called to rejoice. You know, when hard times come along, let's say a man loses his job, and he's got a wife and children, and you know, that's it. That's the only way his family's living, is if he's bringing home some money. But he loses a job. No fault of his own. He just loses his job. And he comes home. And the wife, the wife can just let him have it. And just scorn him for being a lousy husband. But the wife doesn't. But the wife sticks with him. The two decide to just hope and to strive together and to struggle together. And they help each other to what? To stand firm, to be steadfast, to struggle. Because when you go back and you look at Paul's writing, he told the church just that. If I come back, I want to come back finding you standing firm together. Struggling as one team, being in one spirit. That's what we need to do. As husbands, as wives, as a church, no matter what happens, we stand firm together. Whatever the circumstance, we face it together. We encourage each other. We push each other forward. We motivate each other. We influence each other. What? With joy, with love, with peace. We just stand firm. The church has to do it. Families have to do it. It's much easier when we all do it together. That is what the church is called to do. To just stand together. You know, Let me move on real fast now. Now I'll close with this. Because I consider Christ, let me consider the church. Let me consider the church here, okay? The church. The church ought to be the fascinating and beautiful bride of Christ. That's what the church should be. Beautiful, fascinating, attractive. Attractive in the sense it is attracting people from the outside, from darkness, into the light. Because they see something there that is so wonderful. In the midst of all the chaos, all the persecution, everything is happening. Look at that. Look at that church. For some reason, it's a beacon of hope. That church out there, that lovely lady that is the bride of Christ, is holding forth the word of life. Filled with great joy. And that right there, a church like that is what is attractive to people. And people want to go there because it says, that's where I want to go. That's why Paul, he said in chapter 2, be a shining light. We, as a church, are meant to be the bride of Christ, a shining light, attracting others out of the darkness into the light. But if we're just here, being miserable, being wretched Christians, what attraction is that? Who wants to come to that church? Remember in Luke, when the angels came and they told the shepherds, it says, we bring you good news of great joy, because that's the bride of Christ right there. The bride of Christ proclaiming to the world, we bring you good news of great joy. We bring you the gospel of salvation. But then they go there and there's nothing but mayhem. No joy. No joy in those people. And they say, what? Really? This church is proclaiming the good news of great joy, but there's no joy in them? No. That's why it's a sin. It's a sin for the bride of Christ. It's a sin for the church to walk around without any joy. It must be filled with joy. It is the bride of Christ. For that reason alone, that we are the bride of Christ, we should rejoice and rejoice always. Because we are his beloved. We are his beloved. And anyone who would say, well, you know what? I don't really need to be filled with joy. I just need to just be happy, be content, treat people nice and kind. No, not good enough. Not good enough to be unhappy. And you know what? I'm going to go to heaven even if I'm happy or if I'm sad. It doesn't matter. I accepted Christ as my Savior, so it really doesn't matter how happy I am or how sad. I'm saved. No, not good enough. Not remotely close enough. No, not good. No, you must be filled with joy. You must rejoice. And again, I say, Paul says, rejoice. You must rejoice. That is a duty, the obligation of a Christian to always rejoice. There's no other way. Mm-mm. Again, here, this passage gives us no room to say no. No. We rejoice. That's what we do. But now, hopefully, very briefly, I said, this is why we rejoice. We rejoice because of our Lord, because he himself is joy. And let me close it now. Christianity. Is Christianity meant to keep us miserable? Did we become Christians because we want to be unhappy? Miserable? Really? What? Unbelievers. They get to have all the happiness. You look out in the world, there's so much happiness out there. But here in the church, no joy? Really? No holy happiness? No. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants no joy in the church. Look at the world. Go out into the world, have fun out there. But here in church, now, no fun whatsoever. That's not true. The church is meant to be filled with joy. What? God's enemies? Oh, they're so lucky because they get to experience happiness, joy, bliss, even though they're his enemies. But look at all the fun they're having. Yes, but here in the church, what? We got sorrow and despair. That's all we have. They're always sorrowing. They're always despairing. Yeah, that's all they do, worry all the time. But everybody else out in the world, bliss, excitement, happiness. No, we are the bride of Christ. You know what we call the bride of Christ? Because there's this word, iglesia. Iglesia is a Greek word. That Greek word is feminine. It can never change its gender. It's always feminine. This one Greek word, no matter how you see it, how you read it, iglesia is always feminine. That's why we refer to the church as the bride, because church is feminine. We are part of the bride of Christ, part of his iglesia. And he is the bridegroom. Because he is our bridegroom, we should be filled with joy. Filled with joy, always. The unbeliever has no part in Christ, but he's rich in happiness. Believers, no happiness, no gladness. That's not right. That is not right. And in the Philippi church, these two ladies, that is not right. Wrong heart, bad attitude. They don't have the mindset of Christ. No, they're way off. Paul says, take some joy. Take a few pills of joy. You'll feel better later, and then you'll get along with everybody else. But you must take joy. Put joy back into your lives. You will rejoice in the Lord always, and glory. Glory in him. Here's what Paul says. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. You received the Spirit. You received the Spirit. Not a bondage, but a Spirit who enables you to cry out, Abba, Father. Joy. The Father of joy. That is what you have. Joy. Know it and believe it. You can believe not, but believe it because it is the truth. By faith, I'm going to believe. I'm going to rejoice. And again, I say, I am going to rejoice. I don't know about you, but I'm going to rejoice. And we need each other to be encouraged to rejoice. Because if we're all walking around moping and groaning and complaining, oh yeah, there's no joy in that. You go have lunch with someone who's all he or she is doing is complaining. And when you get up and you leave, guess what? You too are going to be complaining. But if you go and you sit down with someone who's filled with joy, holy joy. When you get up and you leave, you too are going to be filled with holy joy. It's contagious. You get one or the other, you choose. Choose to be holy. Choose holy joy. I encourage you. We are children of joy forever. And here on earth, we get a foretaste. We're getting a foretaste of joy. Once we get to heaven, we will experience the fullness of joy. But here on earth, get a taste of it. Get a taste of it and give others a taste of joy. Bring heaven to earth and be filled with joy and rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Let us pray.